Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend.
Meet the boss man himself, whose knight is appearing in Sioux City, Iowa. America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I drove a herd of cattle down from old Nebraska way. That's how I come to be in the state of Iowa. I met a gal in Iowa, her eyes were big and blue. I asked her what her name was, she said Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue, I'd swap my horse and dog for you, Sue. City Sue, Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue. Now I'm admitting Iowa, I owe a lot to you. 'Cause I come from Nebraska to find Sioux City Sue. I'm gonna rope and tie her up, I'll use my old lasso. I'm gonna put my brand on my sweet Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue, I'd swap my horse and dog for you. Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue.
Ah, thank you, folks. Thank you. And welcome once more to Melody Ranch. And now, neighbors, here's a mighty beautiful song that we haven't sung in quite some time. In the sleepy town of San Juanita, there's a story that a padre tells of a gay senor and senorita and the serenade of the bells. Seems they asked the padre for permission to be married early in the spring. But their folks had made just one condition, that the mission bells had to ring. Now everyone knew the bells were broken and hadn't sounded for a long, long time. And then one night the village was astounded, for the bells began to chime. Still the bells are broken, goes the story, but if in your heart a true love dwells, they will ring for you in all their glory. That's the serenade of the bells.
Everyone knew the bells were broken and hadn't sounded for a long, long time. Then one night the village was astounded, for the bells began to chime.
Till the bells are broken, goes the story. But if in your heart a true love dwells, you in all their glory. That's the serenade.
Hold it, Mr. Artery. Hold it right there.
Oh. What now?
Just this. You'll be glad to know that I have finally come up with my own guaranteed method on how to increase production around Melody Ranch. For instance, get a load of this. I got it fixed so each hen will lay 7 eggs in 5 days, and then she can have the weekend off.
Fine thing.
Not only that, we can raise more crops around here, too.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, sir.
How's that?
We're going to stand the land up on end and farm both sides of it.
Now, look here, Patrick. I appreciate your interest and all of that. But there's just one thing I don't understand. How come this sudden urge of ambition?
May I tell you?
Please do.
Well, it's the new Pat Buttram, Mr. Artery. Fired with the spirit of youth, the desire to march on to even greater heights. But you know something?
I knew you was fired, but what?
I think I might be overdoing it a little bit. I'll tell you, it's like this. There's one cow down in the barn that I've already milked 6 times today.
Holy smoke. Well, I feel sorry for that poor cow.
You can say that again. Yep, last time I went out and sat on the stool beside her, she slowly turned around and looked at me with them big, sad brown eyes, and she said, "Stand over there, will you, bud? This time I'll just squirt it at you."
Fine thing. So, even the cows are feeling the pinch, huh?
Well, but nothing like the pigs are, though.
Oh, no. What horrible thing did you do to the pigs?
Just this. Now, when I call the pigs now, I always dash a few drops of perfume behind my ears before I call them.
Well, now, don't tell me that feeds them up any.
No, it don't speed them up exactly, but I sure meet a better class of pigs.
And now, since once more it's storytelling time here at Melody Ranch, I thought I'd tell you all a yarn that had its beginning close to 6 years ago, when a guy I'd never seen before caught up with me early one morning down by the Melody Ranch Corral.
Mr. Audrin?
Yeah, that's right.
My name is John Wade. I'm an investigator employed by the Government Bureau of Animal Inspection. Here are my credentials.
Oh, that won't be necessary. What can I do for you?
Mr. Autry, we've been getting reports recently that an epidemic of hoof and mouth disease is spreading quite rapidly among the cattle in this area.
What?
Yes, in fact, it's been moving so alarmingly fast that my department has assigned inspectors to examine the cattle on all the ranches in this sector for any possible traces of the disease.
I see. Well, Mr. Wade, sure is news to me. But if any of my stock are infected, I'll darn well want to know about it.
Naturally.
I'll have one of the boys show you around.
Good. I'll appreciate it.
You let me know right away if you find anything.
Of course.
I'll meet you back here later. In the meantime, here's hoping that you can give us a clean bill of health. Well, as a rancher who takes quite a bit of pride in his stock, I was almost positive Mr. Wade wouldn't find any diseased cattle in my herd. But I was wrong. At 4 o'clock that same afternoon, one of the boys rode in and told me I was wanted right away out in the southwest section where most of my best steers were grazing. When I got there, Mr. Wade was waiting.
Oh, boy.
What's up, Mr. Wade?
Come over here a minute, will you, Mr. Audrey? I found something I think you should see.
Yeah? What is it?
I'll show you. Now watch while I pull this steer's lip back there. You notice the red inflammation?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do.
Now, those are fever blisters, without any doubt, symptomatic of the first stages of hoof and mouth disease.
But I can't believe it.
I'm sorry. But possibly by sacrificing only 20 or 30 head, you'll be able to save the rest of your herd.
You mean the diseased cattle can't be isolated and cured?
Under less serious circumstances, yes. However, this particular epidemic seems to have gotten such a strong foothold, my department has been forced to take far more drastic measures.
I see.
My men will come by this afternoon and remove the disease stock.
The total loss came to 27 head. In money, it represented roughly $3,000. At any rate, early the next morning, I happened to be out riding around the same area where the diseased cattle had been grazing, when I saw something that made me stop dead in my tracks. It was a steer with all the same symptoms of the cattle that had been condemned. As quick as I could, I cut him out of the rest of the herd, drove him back to the ranch proper, locked him up in an empty stall. Then I went inside the house to do a little checking.
Bureau of Animal Inspection, Chief Inspector Bruce talking.
Oh, Mr. Bruce, this is Gene Autry.
Yes, sir?
I'd like to talk with one of your inspectors, if I may. His name's John Wade.
You say Wade?
That's right.
Sorry, Mr. Autry. There's nobody by the name of Wade in this department.
Are you sure? He was just out here at my ranch yesterday checking on hoof and mouth disease.
Well, I'm afraid you're badly mistaken, Mr. Autry. Not only do we not have a Mr. Wade connected with us, but for your information, we haven't had a case of hoof and mouth disease in this state for over 11 years.
What's the matter, Gene? You look white as a sheet.
Oh, never mind that now. Just check as quick as you can with the neighboring ranches. Find out if this guy Wade condemned any of their cattle.
Right.
In the meantime, I'll get in touch with Doc Willard. I want him to take a good look at that isolated steer. Well, Doc?
It sure looks like hoof and mouth disease, all right, Gene. But it isn't. Actually, this steer is as sound as a silver dollar.
I kind of suspected as much.
Look, I'm just a country veterinarian, but I don't get it. What's going on around here anyway?
Some first-class dirty work, Doc, if I'm...
Hey, Gene!
Yeah?
Gene, guess what? Oh, hi, Doc.
Howdy, Johnny.
Every single ranch around here had anywhere from 10 to 50 head of cattle condemned, either yesterday or today.
What?
You sure, Johnny?
Of course I'm sure.
In that case, saddle up Champ and get yourself a fresh horse. You and I are going to get the rest of the ranchers together. Then we're going on a little manhunt. By noon of that same day, we'd rounded up every single rancher within a 50-mile radius. Told them what the story was, assigned men to every trail leading to the Kern Valley Cattle Junction, and we're on our way. Four hours and 38 miles later, I spotted what we were looking for.
Hold up, boys!
Oh, boy. What's up, Gene? You see something?
I think so, Johnny. Look between those tall pines over there, to the left.
Holy smoke! Our cattle! Hundreds of them!
Quiet, boys! Quiet! Now listen. Listen carefully. There's a chance that they may have seen our trail dust coming up there. If they did, we can expect trouble. So here's what I think we better do. Al, you take five of the boys and circle around behind that ridge south of their camp.
Right, Chief.
Frank, you take four more and follow the same trail till you come to that big rock formation beyond that second gully. See it?
Yes, Chief.
Johnny, you and I will ride straight down from here.
Check.
Okay, it's 5:20 now. By 6 o'clock straight up, we should all be within 100 yards of their camp. I'll check as best I can, make sure. Then on the signal from me, we'll all close in. Any questions? Let's go. Carefully and as quietly as we could, Johnny and I made our way down the steep, winding ledge to the valley below. When we got to the bottom, my watch said 6:10. Closer and closer we got until we could almost feel the warmth of the campfire on our faces. I looked around. On both sides, I could see the figures of our other boys as they crouched waiting. And then, just as the minute hand on my watch reached the top... You're surrounded, all of you. Now, drop your guns.
Hey, Gene, look over there. Ain't that Wade trying to get away on that horse?
Yeah, you're right, Johnny. You and the other boys take care of the rest of them. I'll go after Wade. Up, Champ. Come on, boy.
We're gaining on him, boy. We're gaining on him.
Hold up, Wade. You can't get away.
So you want to play rough, huh?
Okay, boy, let's get him. That's it. Just a little bit more. Keep on going, boy.
Okay, Mr. Wade, get set for some sex to eat. Okay. I had enough. Don't hit me again.
Don't worry. I wouldn't think of it. Besides, I promised a few of my friends that I'd let them in on the last round. Right now, though, I suggest that you get upon your feet and start walking, Inspector Wade. Your wrestling days are all over. Pleasures I receive out of our weekly visits with you is the chance I get to musically describe some of the things which go to make up a cowboy's life
in the place he calls home. A mighty good example of which is contained in the melody and words of this next song. Just a melancholy echo lingering when the day is through. It's the call of the canyon. Once again I'm dreaming of you. Every night I search the moonlight up and down the river shore. It's the call of the canyon. Maybe I will find you once more. Standing there alone by the ashes of the fire we said would never die. Will I ever find an ember burning from the days gone by? Then I hear a lonely whisper as the little spark I see. It's the call of the canyon bringing back your answer to me.
Standing there alone by the ashes of the fire we said would never die. Will I ever find an ember burning from the days gone by?
Then I hear a lonely whisper as a little spark I see. It's the call.